The Lord be with you. So today I will take a short reading from the Gospel of Matthew and also a short reading from the Gospel of Luke. As we read from the Gospel of Matthew, we will look at the part Joseph played in the birth of Jesus, and then we'll look at it from Mary's side as we read a little piece of the Gospel of Luke. So the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you.
This is how the birth of Jesus came about. When his mother, Mary, was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her informally. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her." And then we'll take a little brief reading from the Gospel of Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be enrolled, each to his own town. And Joseph too went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David that is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to have her child. She gave birth to her firstborn. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. The Gospels of the Lord. Now, just briefly, I often feel that poor old Joseph, he doesn't get much recognition in the birth of Jesus. And when it comes to Christmas, Joseph seems to be pushed back into the background, and it's all about angels and shepherds and wise men coming from the east and so on. But when we take a closer look at Joseph, he turns out to be a very interesting character and somebody of great courage. Because in those days, marriage took place in three stages. There was, first of all, the engagement, and then there was the betrothal. And that was a time when the couple, for all practical purposes, were married, but they did not live together or have any conjugal rights. And at this time, this is where Joseph, I think, shines. At this time, Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant. Now, he naturally, and as any of us would, he naturally thought that she had sex with somebody else other than him, or that she had committed adultery. And so he was conscious, very conscious, of the consequences that held for Mary. Now, he could have gone away and broken off the betrothal. But what did he do? He put Mary first. And he didn't want her to be shamed and in disgrace, or to be open to the law and the punishment by the law. So he made a decision to break the law and put her dignity and her safety first. Now, in the time of Joseph and Mary, that took courage. And we have to admire Joseph for that. And then if you think very quickly how in the church we became so legalistic and so many rules and so many laws. And here at the very beginning of the birth of Jesus, even before Jesus arrived into this world in a physical form, Joseph made a decision not to observe the law and not to put the rules first. Maybe something we never realized about St. Joseph. And then if we come to Mary, we're told it was the time of Caesar Augustus. And this was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And look at all the trouble in that country today. So Mary and Joseph, two young people. Mary was probably about maybe 17, 18, young, and Joseph maybe not much older. And here they're living in a very unwelcoming world. They're born into a dangerous world. And many people have said, and it's true, I have never, and you have never, and it doesn't matter probably how old you are, unless you're about 110, you will have never experienced a Christmas like we're going through now. But maybe that's closer to the real Christmas, because Mary and Joseph, especially Mary, did not give birth to Jesus in a very friendly world. And so, doesn't it tell us something amazingly interesting about how God decided in the form of Jesus, in the person of Jesus, to enter this world? Now, if you or I were writing this story, we would have him coming with great majesty and glory, as a lot of people expected the Messiah to come, and all would be beautiful. But that wasn't how it happened. And then if you look what we have done to Christmas, we have over-sentimentalized the whole thing. I know this all looks very, very, very nice, and a lot of people put a lot of hard work into decorating the church and Christmas trees and lights, but believe me, this is far removed from the real Christmas. The real Christmas, for the use of better words or a better phrase, was rough, rough, rough. And shortly after Jesus was born, people were out to kill him. So from the moment he entered this world, he was in danger. And eventually, Mary and Joseph became homeless, and they became refugees. So as a lot of people today are asking, where is God? That question's been asked more and more and more in the last 9 months since the pandemic began. Where is God? Well, you're not going to find God in palaces or in luxurious homes, or you're not going to find him in the White House or anywhere else, or in the Vatican. You're going to find him where people are struggling. You're going to find him in the homeless, That's where you'll find Jesus. And most of all, at the moment, you'll find him in the hospitals. I had occasion to pass through Colorado Boulevard in the last couple of days, and the whole place was empty. It was like the middle of the night. All the stores were shuttered, on some of them big signs for lease. It was a sad place. Now, just for a moment, imagine normal Christmas times. Those streets would have been filled with people, and every city and every town in the country would have been filled with people rushing about all about Christmas. But maybe, this Christmas is like no other, and that's very true, and maybe we're a lot closer to what the real Christmas was like. From the moment Jesus was born, he was, you might say, in trouble because of certain people, because of those in power, because of their jealousy and their clinging to power and could not let go. That's the world in which Jesus was born into. And you might ask, what has changed? Not a thing. Not a thing. And so, if you're going to really get the message of Christmas, you need to think along those lines. You need to think where to find Jesus. And Jesus is found in the everyday physical material world. We very often, you know, somebody was saying, asking me, have I ever been to Macy's in New York during Christmas time and seen the Father Christmas there, the Santa Claus? Well, I haven't. But somebody who has said, you've got to go up to the top floor, go up 8 floors, and hopefully on the way up you'll be buying things or seeing things you'll buy on the way down. And then when you get to the 8th floor, you've got to go up another many, many steps where you'll find Father Christmas with a big white beard sitting on a majestic throne. And that's Santa Claus and Macy's. And the image we have of God very often is Santa Claus in Macy's, sitting on a throne. That is not where God is. He is with us in all the pain and the struggles and the difficulties of life. He never leaves us. He is there beside us continually. What a beautiful name we call him, Emmanuel. God is with us. But most of us don't believe that. Or if we do, we don't put it into practice. So as true Christians, as true followers of Jesus, don't remain at the crib. And don't regard Christmas as about a little baby being born just like that. Babies are born every day of the week. But this was no ordinary little child. It's like the, you know, a lot of people are like the little girl who, she was out with her grandmother shopping at Christmas, and she saw a beautiful crib in one of the windows of the big stores, and she was looking at it, fascinating, and then she said to her grandmother, you know, Goran, he hasn't grown one bit since this time last year. He's the same size. And that's somewhere is where we are. It's always just the baby in the crib. It's not, the story doesn't end there. And there's a lot more to it. That's only the beginning. So you've got to ask again, where are we now in our relation to God? How much does his coming and becoming real in our world and taking on our humanity. And most of all, what Jesus says to us in the message of Christmas, it's good to be human, because I became totally human. So it's good to be human. And how often we almost reject our humanity when we will not admit our failings. Me, I'm not like that. Well, you know, if you're human, you are. And human, if you're human, you're subject to fall. You're subject to sin. You're subject to weakness. You're subject to vulnerability. And look at a baby, little baby, very vulnerable. We're all very vulnerable at the moment. But don't forget, the real message of Christmas is Jesus is with us. He's with those wonderful people in the hospitals, coping almost beyond endurance for those who are suffering with the COVID-19. Tirelessly working day and night. How wonderful that is. That is where Jesus is. He may not be out on the empty streets at the moment, but believe me, he's in the hospitals that are full. Isn't it amazing? The streets are empty and the hospitals are full. That's where you'll find Jesus at the moment. And whenever you're in suffering, and whenever you feel rejection, and whenever you feel pain, and whenever people make life difficult for you, just remember, they did the same to Jesus. They did not accept him. Amen.